Pastor Danny's sermon for this morning, you see by the front of your bulletin, is God generous or reckless? I'm going to be a little bit reckless. The hymn we use talks about preaching the word. And for Americans, and this comes from my translation background, you always try to translate using words as people will understand them. What do most Americans understand when they hear the word preach? Don't preach at me. Don't preach at me. Now, in Greek, the New Testament has six different words that tell us different ways of communicating. And in the King James, those were all crushed down into one word, preach. And even in the more modern translations, they're like the Revised, most of the translations like the Revised Standard Versions and others, I counted them in one of these, and it still uses the word preach 51 times. And some of those places, it's just not the right word. For example, when Stephen was killed in Jerusalem and persecution came and the Christians were scattered, it says everywhere they went, they preached the word. Is that really what happened? I'm coming to your house. Please, you know, give me a place to stay. They're about to kill me back there. Why did you come? Well, then I tell you about Jesus. I'm spreading the word. I'm telling the word. I'm not preaching at you. I'm explaining why I'm running away. And in this particular translation, God's Word to the Nation, it uses the word preach three times. And each time it uses it in a way that Americans would understand it. It's, you know, don't preach at me. And it's just something I'm working on. We need to be more aware of preaching the word. See, there I use the word. We need to be more aware of telling the word. I've got a little project here. I want to put a little bench together. Be nice for the kids next door. A nice little table. But I've got a problem. I've got the boards. I've got nails. Got a hammer. But it's not coming together. What more do I need? Action. I've got to swing the hammer. I've got to put the nails in there. By the way, I had four nails when I began. If you've grown up on a farm, you understand the process of planting. I grew up in a farming community. We had 10 acres and two cows, and we had a few pigs and some chickens. And the farmers all around loved our family. I'm a seventh son, so they always had sons to hire out. And I was hired out by a farmer already when I was 9 years old. Both of my grandparents on both sides were farmers, and neither one of them used a tractor. One had a pair of mules, the other had a couple of horses, and scattering seed is not uncommon. I've thrown seed out by hand, usually when you're replanting part of the field that didn't seem to come up, or even in places I've used the sack that you carry over your shoulder and the seed by gravity, goes down into a wand and you swing that wand around. Or just a couple of weeks ago, I was scattering grass on a bare spot in our yard. Okay, the farmer was planting seeds. And you try to get it on the field and on the soil. But even when I was planting that seed in my yard, some of it, you know, it was right next to the road, and some seeds got out onto the road, and obviously they're not going to grow. And rocky soil. You don't always know what's under the soil. Certainly the farmer is not going to throw seeds onto rocks, but under that soil, maybe 4, 5, 6 inches under the soil, you don't even see it. You scrape that soil, you know. If you have to dig with a hoe, you probably get down 3 or 4 inches. But if there's a rock a little bit further down and the hot sun comes for a couple of weeks, you know, when there's plenty of rain, that seed will grow. But if there's a rock under there and the moisture from lower down can't come up, that's going to die. Also, the farmer clears the land, gets rid of the thorns and thistles and whatever might have been growing there that he didn't want. But there might still be some roots mixed in there, or there might be some seeds that stayed in the soil, or some seeds might get blown in to that soil and thorns will grow. But the farmer doesn't stop planting. The farmer plants that seed because he wants that crop to grow. Now, the text tells us the seed is the word of God. If the soil is prepared, most of that seed will grow, and obviously some will not. I'd like to go back to Acts chapter 8 again. That's the story of the persecution after Stephen. Those Christians were spread, scattered, and they did spread the word. There's a very interesting little phrase in there. It says, when the persecution came, the Christians were scattered and spread the word of God. All except the apostles. Apostles stayed in Jerusalem. They spread the word, all except the apostles. The apostles had equipped the Christians. The apostles had prepared them with the word of God. They knew the good news about Jesus. And that's what they spread. It wasn't the apostles. The book of Acts tells us, all except the apostles. Interesting for sowing the seed. Now we know that you have to spread the seed for it to grow. It's not going to grow sitting around the granary in sacks. Another problem for a farmer is that obviously you plant that seed to get a crop to have food. But what happens if you eat all of that food? If you eat all of those seeds, you have to save some of those seeds. Some of those seeds need to be for planting. Some of those seeds need to be planted. We're called to spread God's word. Our job is to spread God's word. A valid translation of the Great Commission is, as you go, or while you are going, spread the word. We are commissioned to bring God's word to others. And the soil is being cultivated. Look around you. Listen to the news. Listen to what's happening around us. The soil is being cultivated. A lot of people who were secure a few months ago are no longer all that secure. Every evening on the news, you hear, this is how many people died here. This is how many people died here. This is how many people are dying all over the world. I think God is cultivating the soil. And then we have all of the turmoil, all of the fighting and the clashing and evil forces killing and destroying. I think the soil is being cultivated. And of course, we also need to cultivate the soil by living according to God's word, by living as God's people, by being secure in the faith that God gives us. We cultivate the soil. People will see how you act, how you relate to them, and that prepares them to ask, why? Why are you like that? I'm worried. I'm upset. I'm angry. Why are you like that? Cultivate the soil. We can cultivate that soil. Now, planting is an interesting thing. You throw that seed out there, and sometimes, you know, it looks like, boy, that seed will never grow. But sometimes you get unexpected results. I was teaching a New Testament class at Concordia in Austin, Texas. And it's a required class, and with required classes, there are always some students who simply don't want to be there. And the student, I still remember him as the most obnoxious student I've ever had. He had to be there, but he regularly came late, which always disrupts a class, since the entry door was in the front and he sat in the back. And he was always asking questions, and they were obnoxious questions, I thought, and they seemed to be questions that were trying to undercut what I was saying. And at the end of the semester, I heard, he's leaving Concordia. I won't ever have to have him in a class again. But listen to a letter he sent me. Reverend Minch, I just wanted to let you know what a great example of Jesus you have been to me. Over the past 10 years, my experiences with the church have been very negative in that most Christians have become more focused on a feel-good gospel instead of a mission-based interpretation. You helped me understand the true message of Christ last semester and have helped rekindle my old love of God. I was a vehement agnostic until taking your New Testament class last semester and seeing your life and actions. Thank you, and God bless. Sincerely, Patrick Henry Hughes. God's word is effective, and we don't always know when it's going to change people's lives. We don't always know when it's going to be active, and we are called to spread that word, as our motto says, to connect. Sometimes we have to replant. I know my grandfather's field was near a creek, and that creek overflowed once in an unusually heavy rain, and there's an area that very fertile soil next to the creek, but the water had destroyed it, and so you have to replant, plant it again and again. We need to do that sometimes with the Word of God. When we first moved into our apartment in St. Petersburg, Russia, a lady translator came and asked if we would host a Bible study group. Apparently there had been one in that apartment before. And I did that each week. I figured it was a good way to learn Russian and get to know some Russian people. And so I helped lead that Bible study group. But the question they kept coming back to, no matter what part of Scripture we were studying, was, what do I have to do to earn my salvation? What do I need to do so that God will love me? And I kept saying, you know, it's Christ has done it all. Christ has shown his love to you. Christ died for you. Finally, they even brought in an Orthodox, a person who was some kind of official in the Orthodox Church, and he argued with me over and over again, and I kept coming back to Christ has done it all. If any part of my salvation depends on me, I'm in trouble. I'm not dependable. It depends on Christ. And finally, the seed started to grow. After we had been out of Russia because of Benjamin's health, the bishop, Bishop Kukube, who, these people were coming in from a village 11 kilometers outside of the city. Actually, after I realized that, I felt that it was safer for me to travel than all of them to come into my apartment. So I also learned how to get out there by train. But Bishop Kukube was in the United States a couple of years after we left Russia, and he said those Christians started a church out in their village. God's word is effective. Sometimes it's also going to take us effort, maybe even the kind of effort we don't think we have. In Papua New Guinea, my first assignment was to shepherd 11 different places where they were trying to start a church. And we had evangelists, local evangelists in all of those places. Three of them I could get to with my little Jeep, but the rest of them I needed to walk to. The nearest one was a short walk, only 3 hours walk over the top of a mountain and down the other side. The longest one was walk 8 to 10 hours a day, sleep in the bush, another 8 to 10 hours a day, sleep in the bush, another 8 to 10 hours in the day, and I got there. Of course, I had to walk 3 days back, too. But sometimes it's going to take that kind of effort, and we need to get that word out. I would suggest that you identify one person, whether it's a family member who's not a Christian, not coming to church, whether it is a neighbor, someone you've met, someone you work with. Identify one person and make a commitment to somehow bring the word of God to that person. Obviously, first of all, you're going to have to cultivate that relationship, cultivate the soil, prepare that. Maybe there's a hobby that you have in common. Maybe you like a sports team. That's the same. You might even have to give up your favorite sports team and talk about his sports team, or put aside your favorite hobby and take up her hobby. Whatever it is, build that relationship, cultivate that soil so that you have the opportunity to spread the word of God. There are also some other ways of making contact. If you want to get involved in world mission, you can do that right here in Knoxville. We have, I think the figures I heard, we have 30,000 internationals living here in Knoxville. And there's an organization, the Knoxville International Network, that does a lot of teaching of English. It's a Christian organization. It's actually the only ESL, English as a Second Language, program going on in the whole area. Excellent opportunity to build relationships, and the teaching is usually one-on-one. Build a relationship and have an opportunity to share the Word of God. or perhaps also Knoxville Area Rescue Ministries, CARM. Or if you're in my age group, in the 1960s, a lot of young people from Christian families faded out of the church. And now they're at that age where they are facing a deteriorating body, that security of, you know, a healthy body and ambition, that security is gone. And now when the knees are hurting, or when they're doing organ recitals, like, you know, my kidney this, my heart this, my liver this, they are quite open to hearing the Word of God. If you have an opportunity to do that, do that. God's Word is effective. It will do its job. Let's listen again to Isaiah, what he says, what God told Isaiah about the Word of God. Rain and snow come down from the sky. They do not go back again until they water the earth. They make it sprout and grow so that it produces seed for the farmer and food for people to eat. My word, which comes from my mouth, is like the rain and the snow. It will not come back to me without results. It will accomplish whatever I want and achieve whatever I send it to do. That's God's promise. But what about the rest of that text? God was telling Isaiah about the exiles coming back home, back to the promised land, again being faithful to God and living as God's people in the promised land. And listen to the joy. You will go out with joy and be led out in peace. The mountains and the hill will break into songs of joy in your presence, and all the trees will clap their hands. Cypress trees will grow where thorn bushes grew. Myrtle trees will grow where briars grew. This will be a reminder of the Lord's name and an everlasting sign that will never be destroyed. Think of the joy, not only that you will have, but the joy that people will have when they are freed from those false gods. Freed from the god of convenience. The god of convenience that kills unborn babies. The god of selfishness that pushes other people away and that destroys people for the sake of pleasures. Think of what it'd be like for people to be free from those things and the joy that they will have. It'll be like the cypress trees growing where there used to be thorn bushes, or myrtle trees will grow where briars grew. Think of being freed from the false gods of sexual freedom or whatever that god is called. Think of being freed from the god of human knowledge and finding true wisdom in God. Think of the joy that they will have. Think of the joy that would come into our nation and the peace that would come with that joy. God's word is effective. It can do that. Let us pray that God will help us to speak that word, to be those people who spread that word. Let us pray. Lord, open my heart and mind to hear your word, to grow in my understanding of that word. But take the word out of the sack. Help me not only eat all of the word, but to spread that word. Spread that word to others. so that the joy and peace that comes from your word will grow, will go to more and more people. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.
Please rise for our